Good evening. Great to see you all here on this our last midweek Advent service for the year. And we continue on with our theme with Matthew quoting the book of Isaiah saying, Christ have done these things to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah concerning these things. And today we are focusing on Jesus's compassion as Matthew goes on to quote Isaiah saying, a bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not quench. And so this is our theme for this evening as we talk about Christ's love and his compassion that he has for us. We begin this morning with our opening, or this evening, sorry, with our opening hymn number 357.
Appear.
mightily. To us the path of knowledge. Congregation, please stand. We continue with our opening versicles. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of its sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, you sent life and healing into our world. In great compassion, you have come so that we may experience your great goodness. Abide with us that we may ever thank and praise you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. The Old Testament reading for this evening comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud, nor lift up his voice, or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who, in every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then be confident, draw near in the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Our gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 12. He, Jesus, went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how they could destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope." This is the gospel of the Lord. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 739.
Yeah.
Well, peace, joy, and love be to you from Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you haven't noticed, not to state the obvious or anything, but Jesus routinely finds himself in the middle of controversies. All the time, people have disputes with him. They simply can't understand what he's doing or why he's doing it. And strangely enough, it's always his compassion that gets himself in a whole lot of trouble. All the issues seem to center around his grace, because people just don't understand what's in the heart of God, nor can they possibly comprehend his love. In fact, Jesus' love often rises to scandalous levels. His compassion for man often leads him to be outrageously kind and merciful to a degree that is offensive to our natural sinful ears. He welcomes and does good even to the worst of sinners. And Jesus, he openly shows this. He cares more about others and more about you and me than he cares about what people may think about him. Jesus longs to do good regardless of how they might treat him in return. And we see this in our gospel reading this evening. There's Pharisees, and they're trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to egg him on to heal and to do so-called work on the Sabbath. Essentially, what they want is for him to powerfully display his love. They want him to reveal and show his mercy and compassion, to manifest it in such a way that he would be healing this man. All with the purpose in mind of that they would then accuse him of breaking God's law, which, by the way, is summed up in the words, love your neighbor as yourself. But this is exactly what Jesus does. The Pharisees, they have concocted this plan. They've placed before Jesus a man with a withered hand. A hand that is so dried up, it is shriveled, it's paralyzed, and it's helpless. This is a hand that has been touched by the curse of the world. Jesus looks at this man through these compassionate eyes, and he says, "Of course I'm going to heal him. You're supposed to do good on the Sabbath." And then upon healing the man, that's when all of the offenses begin. We begin to see the heightening animosity that man has towards God. Outraged by Christ's scandalous love, they seek to destroy Jesus. Not simply to kill him, but to completely and utterly annihilate him. To so humiliate him as to wipe his name from the face of the earth, to do so to a degree that only a fool would then follow him. They had deep, evil plans in mind. But through it all, we again see this love and compassion of God. There's no repaying evil for evil. Man wanted to kill Christ, and yet God longs to show compassion. He never veers off course, but he always stays true to his mission of loving and bringing life to humanity. Instead of judging them, he lifts not a finger. He doesn't stay and fight and argue, but rather departs to further heal those who are in need. And this is where our quote from Isaiah comes in, saying, "A bruised reed he will not break." How frail an object that God compares our human bodies to, a bruised reed. Now, with a push of a thumb, a man can break and bend a reed stock. And how much more to one that is bruised and rotten to its core? So too could God easily do unto man. And yet he doesn't manifest his power in this way. He doesn't display the glory of his might to do us harm. But instead, God handles us with care. There's no rough handling or touching these brood of reeds called our bodies. He handles us with love and compassion. In fact, if there is any touching at all, it would be no more than with a simple breath and a whisper from God, a breath upon which the Holy Spirit would be exhaled upon man. He doesn't break the bruised reed. He comes to restore us and to bring life, to bring us back to life to our frail bodies. The compassion of God longs to show mercy upon man, even in the midst of man scheming to destroy the very Son of God. But God, in return, schemes to give them life and healing. He departs from them rather than judging and condemning. Isaiah then continues one step farther and says, "And a smoldering wick he will not quench." As Jesus departs the synagogue, many hearts are left in need and in wanting of something more. Many have seen the love and compassion of God dwelling with man, and they recognize this need that they have to know this Son of God further. Jesus has put a spiritual spark in the hearts of man. Those who had seen Jesus speak and heal and do miracles, many of them now have this smoldering wick of faith. It's just a spark, perhaps no greater than the size of a mustard seed. The smallest of faith smoldering in the hearts of man, yet Jesus longs to further fan it into flames. He doesn't quench or snuff out the wick. He doesn't condemn those with little faith, even when they continue in sin, rebel, and routinely disobey him. Even when man conspires against him, God doesn't extinguish our faith. He doesn't cast us into the darkness of despair and unbelief, but instead he desires to fan our faith into flames. He longs to show us compassion and grace. Instead of quenching the spirit again, he simply kindles it, and he feeds it through his word. He once again breathes his gentle spirit, longing that this smoldering wick of man's faith would turn into a blazing fire. He longs to bring people to the knowledge of salvation and to life everlasting. And we saw this in our gospel reading. People were still flocking to Jesus, wanting more and in need of more. And so, of course, they follow after him. But look one more time with me back to this one who has the shriveled hand. This is a perfect image of what Christ has come to do. For in a spiritual sense, all humanity shares in this one who suffers from a shriveled hand. Because our spiritual hands are likewise paralyzed and dried up. We are unable to do good works. We are unable to work or grab hold of anything. We're unable to earn our own salvation. We can't offer God anything from the works of our hands. Our hands, the hands of mankind, are shriveled up. And they were shriveled up as Adam reached out and took part of the forbidden fruit. As Adam reaches for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the curse of the world attaches to his body. And it completely corrupts him from his hand all the way to the deepest parts of his soul. Man and woman have since been completely saturated and engulfed in sin. The diseases and the curses of this world have taken residences up in our bodies. And now our spiritual hands can't offer anything unto God. They are completely paralyzed, shriveled up, and dried out. But dear friends, this is where the beauty of Christmas lies. For in this, we celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior. He has come to bring healing and to restore life to such a people as us. He has come to bring healing upon those with such a spiritually withered hand as he does so with this man in our gospel reading. Jesus tells him to stretch out his hand. And certainly at this point he's looking straight at Jesus. It's as if he's reaching out to God himself. He reaches his hand out in the direction of Christ, and in doing so he finds his hand completely restored. His hand is healed to perfection, and so he becomes an example for us all. For when we too stretch out our hands, our withered, helpless hands unto God, we too can experience his compassion of the Lord. We likewise stretch out our shriveled, beggar hands of our souls, unable to offer anything unto God, but we stretch them out, reaching for God and begging him to have mercy upon us. And when we stretch out our hands to our Savior, we find healing and love and the compassion of God. Our hands have been restored, their strength, that we may be fully receive the blessings of God. And in so doing, we can now fully grasp hold of his loving promises. He places eternity, life, and forgiveness of sins into our spiritual hands. We can grab hold of his promises. And this healing he gives to us, for likewise he too stretched out his own hands. He stretched them as far as they would reach, as people pulled and tugged and at once nailed them to a cross. Our begging hands have found healing in the arms that bore our sin. As blood dripped from his hands, we find healing and life in our souls. For he has taken our sin and he has bore our iniquities. What inexhaustible truth and joy this is. What love and compassion Christmas brings, for all this healing must first rely upon this Christ child being born that Christmas day. That's when the compassion and love of God was first wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's when all of his healing and the forgiveness of sins was first placed in a manger on that Christmas morning. The healing of our souls began when Jesus was born of a woman. For in the incarnation, the love and compassion of God has dwelt kindly with man. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Congregation, please stand and join me with prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for our church gathered here, that we may so love and turn to Christ as the healer and perfecter of our faith, let us pray to the Lord. Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, hymn number 411.